God bless you. We want to welcome you tonight to our time of study in the Word of God in the book of Ephesians. Certainly happy to have you joining us online. And we trust that tonight as we go through the Word of God that the Lord will speak something to encourage your spirit. Before we would open our Bibles tonight, we want to just open the service in a word of prayer. So if you would just bow with me. Father, we thank you for the privilege and the opportunity we have to study your eternal word. And God, as we read the word of God, we realize that it's not just something that was written for days gone by, but because you are a God that thought of everything from the beginning all the way to the end, you knew that these words would apply to us even today. So Father, I pray that you'd help us to bring clarity, that we would draw closer to you through the revelation understanding of the word of God. And tonight, Lord, we just pray your blessings upon each and every one that would be at home, those that are here in the sanctuary, God. We just thank you for each one. And God, just pray that you just minister to each and every heart. Thank you for our precious sisters, Lord, that you've been keeping through this time of pandemic, and now you've allowed them to come back into the house of the Lord tonight. We're grateful for that, oh God, and just ask your blessings upon each one. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's turn our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 1. We will continue our journey here. If you're at home, we want to encourage you, please take your Bible out. Some of the things that Paul has written here are certainly things worthy of highlighting in Scripture, especially when we get a clear understanding as to what the Lord is actually trying to speak to us. So let's just read here in Ephesians 1, just a few verses, and then we'll get right into our study for tonight. Here at verse 1, it says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Glory to God, the faithful that are in Christ Jesus. So this wasn't just to anybody as he was addressing this particular book two, this was to the faithful that are found in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. I think that statement needful for us to understand. When Paul is talking many of the things here in this chapter, they are spiritually discerned. Well, we can't apply natural thinking to it. We need God to teach us by the Spirit what he's trying to say. It's a much higher and deeper thought process that's going here, and we don't want to just apply it, you know, apply natural thinking to it. Verse 4 says, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. I love that. So we were chosen in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. So there's no one that can accuse you. Satan himself can't accuse you. Our God is both our attorney and our judge. We stand before him without blame. Amen. We're holy we're without blame before him in love. There's nothing against us. Nothing against us. That does not give us, amen, a license to sin. But I tell you what, when you get a true understanding of what this is, you stop looking at your past. Amen. You start looking at your future. You also begin to understand that, you know, that wasn't you that did those things anyway. And that's why it's nothing against you. The blood of Jesus Christ has cleansed you from each and every sin. There's not one thing you can do to get away from the grace of God and from the love of God. Here, verse 5 says, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. And we were talking about that particular verse on last week. when you look at the word adoption, if you went to a just Webster's Dictionary and you tried to get an understanding of what Paul was saying, and you tried to use Webster's Dictionary, you would get things, you know, that were related to, you know, what someone would do for a child that might not have had parents. Maybe the parents had to give up the child because of whatever reason. And, you know, and they talked about how you adopt the child, you change their name and you do all this. And then later on in life, the child begins to regret that they were adopted because now they don't know their real origin. And, you know, you thought you were doing something good for them and now it turned out to something bad. That's not the adoption that we're talking about here in Scripture. That's not what Paul is writing about. That is normal, or I would say just a current day definition of what adoption means. But when you're looking at a biblical word like this, you have to apply spiritual types to it. And God sent us a prophet that told us what adoption is our placing. Amen. It's our placing in the body of Christ. And the good thing about it is that every person, no matter who you are, you have a place in the body of Christ. Everybody's not called to preach. Everybody's not called to teach. Everybody's not called to sing. Everybody's not called to play an instrument. Everybody's not called to speak in tongues. Everybody's not called to interpret. But you have something that you do. You have something. And we need every part of the body to function accordingly so that that ultimately the you know, God gets the glory from what we do as the body of Christ. But finding our place in the body, God has to lead us there. I mentioned this in previous lessons. There's many churches you go to nowadays. Everybody in the church is evangelist or pastor or this or that. And it's like, I don't think God intended for it to be that way. That's not what he was asked for. Paul asked the question, does all do this? Does all do that? That's not what this is all about. We need to just find our place and be satisfied with what God made us. Some parts of the body will never be seen. But the body, the parts of the, in your body, your physical body, the parts that are not seen are the ones that are most important. Amen. See, so let's not get so caught up on trying to get a title. Amen. Let's just be who God called us to be and be that for his glory, for his honor. Amen. It says here in verse 6, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. And we'll deal with that tonight. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded towards us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. Let's stop there for our reading of the scripture tonight. As I mentioned at the beginning of the study, a quote that I presented to you that this is almost like a verse-by-verse expository teaching. It's like verse-by-verse. We are not trying to get too far ahead of ourselves. We really want to dive in and just get what the Spirit is trying to tell us for that verse. And we want to focus tonight on verse 6. But before we go there, just some key statements in this section of our teaching that I thought was important. And, you know, I think it'd just be a blessing for us to kind of go back and look at that on slide 7. It says, I pray that God will crown your ministry, whatever it is. Amen. Being in the pulpit is not the only ministry in the church, right? Being in the pulpit. I recall a sister in the past that had dealt with cancer. I believe it was cancer that she was healed from. She had to go to the hospital and you know, they did a number of things, but the Lord healed her from the cancer. And because of what she went through, she developed a passion to want to go back to the hospital and pray for others that were going through cancer. Now, that was her ministry, to actually go pray for the sick. Now, you know, the Bible says that they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. So when the Bible said that, it included both men and women to be able to do that. Praise the Lord. Now, I think there's a place for all of that. I think God certainly has place and order in his church. But when we talk about persons having a ministry, everybody has something that they can do. Some might have a ministry to feed the hungry. That's a ministry, right? Some might have other things that they do. But, you know, any way that you're impacting and helping others, that is a ministry. Use it for the glory of God. I pray that God will crown your ministry, whatever it is. It may be a housewife, and there's a ministry in being a housewife. You know, as a housewife, there are times I can just maybe even speak for my wife, because there was, you know, her being a housewife, and I can also tell you this: when we got married, it was not our plan for her to be a housewife. That wasn't the plan when we got married. Situations actually presented themselves, and we just realized this is the best thing for us to do at this time. But it wasn't part of the plan. What we learned is that you just follow God's plan for your life. You know, he has a way of just working it all out. So, you know, he or she, I didn't know I was going to say all this tonight, but I'll share this. He or she was, you know, raising our daughters. We took them out of daycare and things like that, and she was there raising the daughters, and at that time it was daycare was cheap. I think we were paying $35 a kid or something like that per week, but we were poor, and as we start adding up what we were paying per week, and then we realized what she was making per week, pretty much everything she was making was going to the babysitter. So for us, it made sense not to pay the babysitter, but for her to just stop working and raise a kid. She became a housewife. But by doing that, she had the opportunity to impact other kids. It wasn't just her kids. We were able to start a school because she was in a position like that. God knew all about that. Other children were impacted through the things that God took us through, right? So I believe God was crowning her ministry. Even during those times, God was crowning her ministry. She had impact, not just with our children, but so many others. Amen. See, there's nothing for us to be ashamed about. Just if God called you to be a housewife, walk into your calling. And I remember one time, you know, like I said, I didn't know I was going to say all this tonight, but the Lord knows. Maybe somebody need to hear this. But I was, we were, when we were starting the school the second time, my wife was working again, and you know, and I was working, and she was working part time and everything. So one morning I got a call from Brother Wesco, and he said, the Lord told me to tell you, don't get too comfortable on your job. Don't get too comfortable on your job. He got other things for you to do. So I'm like, oh, the Lord told you that, and I got a good job. I'm like, the Lord said, what? Don't get too comfortable on your job. I got other things for you to do. I said, oh, my goodness. I said, okay. And I know when God speak to Brother Wesco, God spoke to him. It ain't just like nobody coming up say the Lord told me. I know there's certain people that you know when God speak to them, it was really God. And Brother Wesco is one of those people in my life. So I said, well, I'm going to just write this down and date it, and I'm going to see what is. And I shared it with my wife, and she said, you know, at that time she said, I know that he spoke that to you, but I think that word was actually for me. She said, I think that one was for me, because I'm not supposed to get too comfortable in my job. God got other things for me to do. And she decided at that time, based on that word, to quit her job and go full time at the school. And most people don't realize she wasn't getting paid much of nothing. If people knew what she was getting paid for what she was doing, they'd feel sorry for her. But she wasn't getting, God saw it. That's a ministry. That's what we call a ministry, right? We're not doing it for fame. We're not doing it for fortune. We're doing it in order to bring glory and honor to God. She had an opportunity to impact lives, And it was years later that God took me off the job, and I realized it had a double meaning. The first time it came around, it was for her. Second time it came around, it was for me. Praise God. May God crown your ministry, whatever it is. It may be a housewife. I thank God the prophet put it that way, because people nowadays put the housewife down. Amen. But the prophet lifted it up. It may be a housewife. I pray that God will crown your ministry. And I think every time one of them, one of the young people come back and just, you know, can tell her how much they appreciate what they did for her, what she did for them, it means so much. That's her ministry being crowned. Her ministry being crowned. Everybody got a ministry. As a teacher, that's a ministry. Praise God, right? Whatever it is that God has called you to do, that is a ministry because you're impacting people. It may be a preacher, it may be a deacon, it may be a lay member, it may be a farmer. I don't know what it is. Whatever it is, may God crown your life in the glory of his word. This other statement here, God calling his children aside by manifestation. That's how God calls his children. He calls them by manifestation. You know, oftentimes we're looking to try to find our purpose and things like that, and we struggle. We struggle. You're fearfully, wonderfully made. God's the one that designed you, and he knows the purpose that he's called you to. So there's no need to struggle. All you need to do is yield. Now, the thing of it is, sometimes what the struggle is that you might be struggling trying to get into a place that God didn't call you. Amen. If it's a struggle, maybe you're trying to go somewhere where God didn't call you to go, and that's why you're being blocked. Yield and watch God just bring you to the place that he wants you. God calls his children aside by manifestation. I could tell you my own personal testimony of just seeing that in my own life. I remember before I became pastor, I was faithful in church. I told y'all about me cleaning in the church and how the Lord just watched over me during those years that I was just cleaning the church. Nobody knew it. The pastor knew it. But I had developed a reputation amongst God's people that I was reliable, that I was dependable. Whatever they needed, I can get it done. And I remember just singing often. I was a song leader, so, you know, that was my job, and I did that faithfully. But then there was times God just elevated me, and they allowed me to also be able to preach or speak sometime. And at that time, we called it testimony. So the Lord would, you know, bless, and Brother Jack gonna give a testimony. And I remember my pastor having to leave and go out of town, and he needed somebody to step up and speak. And I say, Lord, I'm going to study something. I'm going to see what I can do. You know, I give a testimony. And I knew my pastor was telling me, now, don't get up there and just tell them people the Lord bless you with a car. No, you need to say something to the people. We called it testimony, but it was Sunday morning. The people needed to eat. So I was preparing. Another brother was preparing, and we were just sharing. And as I was preparing, this little thought that the Lord gave me, I was preparing a thought, and then the Holy Spirit told me, said it's going to take 2 hours to preach that. And I said, Lord, this is supposed to be a testimony. I can't get up there no 2 hours. And the Lord, this is wrong. I can't do it like this. And it's 2 hours. Well, I'm like, the other brother got to speak, and I got to speak. Ain't no way this is going to happen. Well, the morning of, that brother called me and said, Brother Jack, I don't have anything to say. Can you take the whole service? I said, the Lord ain't never wrong. And when I went up there and I said, sure, brother, I'll do it. I went up there and I spoke. When I said my last amen, I looked at my watch, 2 hours. And when I was so afraid, I was like, my pastor going to be upset. I went way over the time. I don't know what's going to happen. I'm going to get rebuked on this one. Pastor called me up, said, brother, I really appreciate that sermon. That was right on time. God bless you. I say, well, glory to God. Glory to God. Look, God calls his children aside by manifestation. They don't have to say one word about it. You see nothing. Something's happening. You see something's happening. Amen. Let's go on. What is his grace? And this other statement, he says, what is his grace? Back before, when he wasn't a father, his grace, his love, made himself a child, that we might be predestinated unto the adoption of children to the praise of his glory. Now, I'm sorry, unto the adoption of children to the praise of his grace. See, let's go on here. It says, but the purpose of this is seeing your position in Christ. As we're going through the book of Ephesians, the purpose of this is seeing your position in Christ. Seeing that it's not something that you just stumbled into or something that might, you merited somewhere, but it's what God did for you himself. Not that you were so good that you went to church one night, that some poor brother led you up to the altar. It wasn't that. It was God before the foundation of the world predestinated you to eternal life. God orchestrated that you would meet certain people. They would come into your life. They would say certain things, and they would get you going down a certain path. God did that. That's what we call predestination. God knew that once you came in contact with that person, some of the decisions that you were going to make after you came in contact with them, right? So that's what predestination is based on, God's foreknowledge of knowing what you're going to do before you even do it. That's what predestination. Not that I picked you and I didn't pick you, just I know you. You understand? Predestination is based on I know you, not I picked you, but I know you. I knew you before you was even formed in your mother's womb. I knew you. Amen. Glory to God. All right, let's go on. I want to slip over here to slide 9. We are going to look at verse 6. Amen. Verse 6 here in Ephesians 1. It says, to the praise of the glory of his grace, my life brings glory to his grace. Your life brings glory to his grace. If you have been picked up from a muck and miry clay and you've been placed on a rock to stay, your life, amen, brings glory to his grace. Amen. Amen. Just by being born in this world, we were born sinners. We came into the world speaking lies, but God changed us somewhere along the line, and our lives are now bring glory to his grace. When people hear your testimony, where you come from, because oftentimes they see folk in the church, and maybe some of us that's been around for a good while, people don't know what our past is. That's because I done lived so far away from my past, you'd never know, right? But God brought me from somewhere. That's why I come to church with a shout, right? I remember where he brought me from. Amen. If it wasn't for his grace, I wouldn't be where I'm at today. Amen. And I just put this word up there. It says here, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. And on the slide there, I just put that word, I am accepted. And that's something that if you wanted to write it down right there on that verse in your Bible, when you go back and read this, I want you to think about this. I am accepted. Amen. No matter what the devil says, he is a liar. God said in his word, I am accepted. I am accepted. Now, I want to just bring in a little quote here, and then I want to go a little further with this. This quote says, just hit next there for me on the slide. To the praise of his glory, of his grace, wherein he has made us acceptable in the beloved. Who did it? Because I quit drinking. Because I quit smoking? No, he did it. He made me, before the foundation of the world, acceptable in the presence of his grace. Nothing I done, never done a thing about it, didn't have one thing to do with it. I was a pig to begin with. I had hog nature, right? And what that hog nature is like, I remember my pastor always said, you can take a hog out of his pen, put him on a tuxedo, throw some cologne on him, dress that hog up, try to make him look as human as you possibly can. He say, as soon as you put all them clothes on him, put all that cologne on him, and you turn the hog loose, the hog goes right back to his pen again. That's where his nature wants to go back to that pen, get all messed up in the muck and the mire. Same thing happens to people. They come to church, and if their nature's not changed, they'll sit here in church. But as soon as they leave church, they're going right back to the hog pen, right back to where the devil had them before, right back into bondage. But the only way you can get that person set free and truly set free, God got to change their nature. God has to change your nature. Thank God for the change that he's given us. This word, accepted. I was just focusing on this, and I'm looking at a couple different places to give you some definition on it. out of the Greek lexicon, when we talk about the word accepted, it means to be highly favored. Highly favored. We can look at Mary. She was blessed and highly favored. So now if you're accepted, that puts you in the same category as Mary. You are blessed and highly favored. Amen. Another definition is to make graceful, charming, lovely, agreeable. Amen. You walk different when you're walking graceful. Right. When you're dressed in a way to be charming or lovely, everything is different about you. Right. Your attitude is different. But this is when you're accepted, you've been made graceful, charming, lovely, agreeable. Amen. And the other thing about this word accepted means to peruse with grace. Also, it means to compass with favor. Favor ain't fair. The reason that these things are happening in my life is because I am accepted. Oh, glory to God. To compass with favor, to honor with blessings. God says you're accepted. I was looking at the Unger's Bible Dictionary on this word accepted. It says acceptance also means that relation to God in which he is well pleased with his children. For by children of God only is it enjoyed. So when we talked that first verse that said, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. See, it's only a certain group that are going to even enjoy this. A certain group that, if I could just go as far as saying only the bride. When a man chooses the bride, he only chooses one. Amen. Not everybody else. So only the bride, amen, will be able to understand what it means to be accepted. Amen. This Unger's Bible Dictionary says in Acts 10:35, we learn that, but in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh is accepted with him. This is the Cornelius' house where Peter was told to go there and doubt nothing. And as Peter began to hear their testimony, he said, I realize it's not just the Jews. This ain't just to the Jews, because God filled them Gentiles with the same Holy Ghost that he filled the Jews with. And Peter said, in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh is accepted with him. It goes on in this dictionary, say the Christian scheme bases acceptance by God on justification. What that means is that it's just as if I never did it. I'm accepted. I'm justified. I'm glorified. Amen. I never did it in the first place. It says Paul in Ephesians 1:6 refers to the grace of God wherein he has made us accepted in beloved. In Christ only are we acceptable to God. Out of him, we are sinners and subjects of his wrath. I read that and I just couldn't get away from this thought. And I'm gonna get deeper into some other quotes here and some scriptures in a second. But after I read that, in Christ only are we acceptable to God. Out of him, we are outside of him, we are sinners and subjects of wrath. Thought about Brother Branham going into the restaurant, and as he was, you know, in the restaurant, he saw just a number of different things going on. There was a older lady who walked into the restaurant with two men, and both of those men were her company. He saw a police officer in the restaurant playing a video machine or something like that, or a jukebox or something at that time. And as he was playing it, he had his arm around some young lady that he just shouldn't have been in there handling himself like that as a police officer. So Brother Branham just looking around and saying, just a little old itty-bitty town, and look at the sin all over this place. Just look in this little spot right here. Look at all the sin. And he just said to himself, Lord, why don't you just come down and destroy this? So the Lord said, come here. I need to talk with you. And he pulled him to the side and stuck him behind a door. And when he got him there, he showed him a vision. And in this vision, he saw these little black spots leaving the earth. And as they were leaving the earth, they were going up into the presence of God. And before they could get to the presence of God, they struck Jesus, and he could see the face of Jesus just wincing in pain every time one of these black spots left the earth. And Brother Branham said, "Oh, my Lord, is that their sin doing that to you? God, is that their sin?" He said, "No, that's not their sin. Prophet, prophet of God, that is your sin." Brother Branham said, "Oh, my goodness. You mean I make you feel that way? And I'm supposed to be a prophet. I make you wince in pain like that as a prophet?" It says, "You want me to destroy them, and my grace is what's covering you. You ought to be offering them grace too." And as they saw the vision, he said, "Lord, I'm sorry." And he repented, and he went back out to the table, and he saw the lady sitting there by herself, and he walked up and said, "Ma'am, do you mind me talking with you?" She said, "I already got company. I don't need no company." He said, no, not like that, ma'am. "I just want to just share something with you that just happened here, and I just want to, talk to you." And he began to talk, and as he shared the vision with her and the dream, she's like, "Are you the preacher that's down there and running that revival?" He said, "Yes, ma'am, I am." And she said, I've been really wanting to come. But, I just had this and I got that and all these things in my life. And I'm not accepted. And right there, he was able to lead that woman to Christ. And as he was praying for her, the next thing you know, the police officer is stopping the jukebox, and the whole scene changed. The whole scene changed. He went from bringing a lady to judgment to bringing her grace. And I thought about this outside of him, outside of Christ. We are, every one of us, we're sinners and we're subjects of wrath. Let's read a few quotes here from God's prophet. This is from Adoption Part 3. It says, "Then we could go back to the same Eli, Eli Elohim, see where he's self-existent. Then come back through Jehovah who made something. It gave man dominion over the earth. What are we waiting? What are we waiting for? The manifestations. The earth is groaning. Let's get down to it and read it. All right. Predestinated to the adoption of children by himself, according to his good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace." What is his grace? Back before, when he wasn't a father, his grace, his love, made himself a child that we might be predestinated unto the adoption of children to the praise of his glory. Now, I like the statement, when he wasn't a father. Now, God, if we could just kind of take a little trip here tonight. Before he was God, because God actually means object of worship. Before he was God, he was Elohim, what we would call the self-existing one. And what he created then was angels, and the angels began to worship him. By the angels worshiping him, that made him now God. Praise the Lord. However, we would think that that would have been enough. He got the angels. There's no sin. Everything's perfect. The angels are worshiping. Holy, 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 forever. Just holy, 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 just all types of worship. That would have been it. But in God, the reason that we are here in God was other attributes to be expressed. And one of those attributes that God had, one was to be a healer. Another was to be a savior. Another was to be a redeemer. Another was to be a deliverer. You just name it. I mean, God had all this in him, and situations had to present themselves in order for the attributes to be expressed. Another great attribute that was in God, to be father. He wanted to be a father. Most men, most women, if they're thinking about it, when they're young, they have desires to grow up one day, get married, and either become a father, become a mother. That shows you have an attribute in you that's waiting to be expressed. Praise the Lord. Now, even when you have kids, they don't really understand your value till certain situations arise. Praise the Lord. Then another attribute can be expressed. Praise the Lord. Then they understand the wisdom that comes. Glory to God, right? The attributes come after things happen. So it's the same way with God. As certain things happen, then these attributes had the opportunity to be expressed. So when a son was born, Adam's on earth, he becomes father. Actually, I can even take you before Adam, because out of God came a logos, a light, a halo came out of, and that was the Son of God. That was the very first thing when the Bible said, "Let there be light." That's the light that came out. It was the glory of the Son. It was Christ in light form, the same light that Paul saw on the road to Damascus, the same light that the children of Israel followed in the wilderness. That same light is the light that came out of God. That was so God could be seen. Hallelujah. He was a great spirit, but now he can be seen. He's viewable now as this light. But that light became a person. What God was doing was constantly just condescending, getting into a form where we could actually have fellowship with him. Amen. Praise the Lord. He wanted to be a husband. He wanted to be a father. He wanted to be a healer. He wanted to be a way maker. He wanted to be a deliverer. So that's why we're here, so he can express all those attributes to us. So don't get afraid when you're in some situation. Just, Lord, what attribute do you want to express? Amen. What attribute you trying to express to me, God? Prove yourself. Show yourself strong so I can brag about you. Amen. Glory to God. He wasn't a father. His grace, his love made himself a child that we might be predestinated unto the adoption of children to the praise of his grace. See, wherein he has made us acceptable by the person beloved, which is Christ, made us accepted. How? By him. How do we get into him? By one spirit, all baptizing him. Listen, in whom we have redemption. We have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. S-I-N-S. Look. But oh my, neither do I understand it. The prophet is going on in this statement here, which I just, it just blesses my mind, blesses my heart. It says, neither do I understand it. No, but brother, I remember when I was way out yonder one time, something came after me. And I think everybody can identify with that. I was way out yonder, didn't know how I was going to get back. Something came after me. You know, there's some of us that are watching right now via Facebook or via Periscope, and you wondering, how did I end up in this spot? I mean, you used to go to church. You haven't gone in a long time, but you know what? You had enough in you to click on the link, and I'm telling you, something came after you. Even in the midst of a pandemic, something came after you. You wouldn't be sitting there watching tonight if something had not come after you. Praise the Lord. That something that came after you is the Holy Spirit. Now, I want to encourage you to do something. After they start lifting things up, get back to the house of God. Get there as fast as you can. Amen. I remember when I was way out yonder one time, something can't come after me. Amen. And I want to tell you, you might say, I did this, ain't nobody going to receive you. It's not the people in the church, it's God. And I've told you tonight, according to his word, you are accepted. That's what God said. You are accepted. So you walk right on in here with your, amen, with your head high, knowing that you are accepted. Praise God. And I'm going to read a scripture in a second, but we're going to welcome you with open arms. You, if there's a problem, if somebody having a problem, welcome you, see, tell them to see me. Tell him that Brother Jack said, I am accepted. Yes. Glory to God. And I'm going to just tell him what the word said. You are accepted. Mm-mm-mm. Thank you, Jesus. It says, neither do I understand it. No, but brother, I remember when I was way out yonder one time, something come after me. Amen. It wasn't because that I wanted to come, but it was because something come after me. Not that I wanted to come, but it's something come after me. Because before the foundation world, God predestinated, hallelujah, that we would be to his honor and glory. Listen, those who he foreknew, he is what? Called. That's right. Did he call you? Yeah. Why did he call you? He foreknew you. Those who he foreknew, he called. mind. And that calling is not to necessarily preach the gospel. It's to serve him. And many of us have received that call. Not that God dialed your phone number. Not that he did nothing like that. But it's just something beginning to deal with your inner man. Praise the Lord. Now he can dial your phone number. You know, somebody could send you a text by mistake with some encouraging scripture. You're like, why did they do that? That's God dialing your phone number. Amen. Praise God. Listen, he said, God predestinated, hallelujah, that we would be to his honor and glory. Listen, those who he foreknew, he is what called. That's right. Did he call you? Yeah. Why did he call you? He foreknew you. Those who he foreknew, he called. Those who he has called, he has justified. Is that right? And those who he has justified, he hath glorified. Amen. That's what the Bible said. Those who he foreknew, he called every generation. So this wasn't just for Paul's day. That's for this day. Every generation, those who he called, he has already glorified. What? Let me read the scripture here, all right? Having predestinated them unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ himself. He's reading Ephesians 1 when he's making that statement. Having predestinated them unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ himself, according to his own pleasure, to the praises of his glory. Oh, do you get it? To the praises of his glory, that he could sit there in the eternal ages, that is to roll on, and his children would scream, Abba, Father. I can see myself up there just adoring my God and just saying, Abba, Father. Abba, Father. That's Father, Father. Father, Father. Thank you, Jesus. And look at what he say here. The angels say, what are they talking about? Now, the angels worship. They were created to worship, right? But when they hear you saying, Abba, Father, they speaking in tongues? No, Abba, Father. You don't know how I got here. You don't know where I come from. You don't know how I got here. Abba, Father, Abba, Father. The angels are sitting there wondering, what are they talking about? It says beautifully, so beautifully displayed in the prodigal son, I was lost. This is my son. He was lost, and now he's found. He was dead, and he's alive again. Bring forth the fatted calf, the best robe, a ring, and put it on his finger. I said, no wonder when the morning stars sang again, the sons of God shouted for joy. When they seen the plan of salvation, God put in your name on the book before the foundation of the world. He said, the morning stars began to sing together, and the sons of God began to shout for joy when they saw your name being placed on the book. Before you was born. The prophet referred to these scriptures, and I just wanted to read these tonight. In this quote, he referred back to Romans 8. I want to read a little bit of Romans 8, and also he referred to the story of the prodigal son. I want to read that for you tonight. Amen. And I just feel like we might have some prodigals there. And I want you to know that you're accepted. I want you to know that you're accepted. God don't play games with his word. He would not even allow you to sit there and hear words like this tonight if you were not accepted. Let's look at Romans 8. Let's just start at verse 1. I want to read that first, and then I'm going to skip around in Romans 8. I'm going to go from verse 1 to verse 15, and then I'll skip to a few verses there, then I'll skip to verse 28. So let's just look at this Romans 8. Just to reiterate, amen, you've been accepted. Look at this, Romans 8, verse 1. There is, therefore, now, no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. So there's nothing should stop you from coming to church. There is, therefore, now, no condemnation. That's the devil that's lying to you. Telling you people won't accept you. It's not about whether people accept you. It's whether God accepts you. He told you in his word that you are accepted. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit. Can we skip to verse 15? Amen. In the same chapter, verse 15. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. What makes him daddy is me. What makes him daddy is you. We are children of God, right? And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectations of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. And I've mentioned it many times. I've looked up that word manifestation, and there it says waiting for the revelation of the sons of God, waiting for you to catch a revelation of who you are. And God told you tonight, you are accepted. Sometimes that's all you need, is just one word to get strength. I am accepted. I want to keep reading. Verse 28. I know you done went through a lot. I know, man, the devil done had a field day in your life. But look at what the Bible says. And we know that all things work together for good to them who are to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. So no matter what has happened, God has ordered every step and is working together for good. It may not feel good, but it's still working together for good. All things, not some things, but all things. Verse 29 says, for whom he did foreknow. I told you predestination is based on knowing. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Glory to God. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. So now we're getting a little deeper. Because when you start, I mean, now you can say, I'm accepted, I'm predestinated, I'm called, I'm justified, I'm glorified. You can just start writing all of that. All just take sheets of paper and just, this is who you are, right? I am accepted, I'm predestinated, I am called, I am justified, I am glorified. Yeah. Amen. And when you got that, then you can go to verse 31 and say, what shall we then say to these things? What things? That I'm accepted, I'm called, I'm predestinated, I'm justified, I'm glorified. What shall we say to these things? And if they still got something to say, then just read to them the rest of the verse. If God be for us, who can be against us? You accept it. Come on home now. Come on home. I want to read, because the prophet referred to this in Luke 15. It said it's like the so beautifully displayed in the prodigal in the prodigal son. I was lost, and I think everybody's testimony is found in this story. If you've ever walked away from God, you were prodigal one day. And see, and I think, you know, if just by being born, you were prodigal. You were born in sin and shaped in iniquity. You were a prodigal. Look at this. Verse 11. And this is Jesus telling the parable. I told you, he wanted to be a father. He wanted to be a father. And he shows you the actions of a father, even when his child is lost. Amen. Father prays for that child. A father constantly looking for a change in that child. A father wants to see him make it. Father, I mean, especially when a child's away from God, father just handles that child a little bit differently. It might even be a little soft on them, just trying to get them, just trying to win them back, just a little, get them back in line. That's just the nature of a father when a child is lost. A father will cry when a child is lost. Amen. And he said a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me." And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. Now, daddy couldn't stop him from going. This boy made it up in his mind that he was leaving. And there was, I don't care how many talks and how many counseling sessions that daddy would have, he had to come to a point where he released the boy and let him go, gave him what he asked for and let him go. And when he went out there, typically is what happens to every prodigal, they always get involved in riotous living. I'm going to tell you another thing. You can be saved and still a prodigal. You can be going to church, but not to the church that you're supposed to be going to, and then make you a prodigal. Praise the Lord. And typically when you're not in the place that God has called you to be, you begin to go into riotous living. Your dressing changes. Riotous. You might not be drinking, but you're still doing things that's displeasing to God. It makes you a prodigal. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and it began to be in want. Sometimes God uses situations to get people's attention. The crowning virus, coronavirus, would cause somebody to sit down at home, and you couldn't do nothing else. Thank God. You can watch basketball. You can watch baseball. You can watch nothing. All you had was church. Thank God for that, right? A famine will do that. A virus will do that, right? And if amen, not that, I don't want to say God sent it, but God allows everything that happens on this earth. God allows it. He knows exactly what's going to happen in the midst of it. And some of us, he knew that once this happened, they're going to turn to me. They'll turn to me. He already knew that. That's why he already on the other side waiting for you to come back to church. It says he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And as a Jewish person, he was never supposed to even be amongst the pigs. That wasn't his. This was a low down, dirty job that he should have never had. Never had. And some of y'all working in some places that you know God don't want you working in. But this is what happens to prodigals. But the good news about this story, you might be working there, but you can quit and get another job. Now, I'm going to tell you where you can find some work. In daddy's house. Daddy got some work for you to do. He wants you to testify about his grace, about his mercy, about his love. He said, he went and joined himself to a citizen of the country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. That means he got so hungry that he wanted to eat what the pigs was eating. And when he came to himself, sometimes you got to get in situations like that. You got to get so low that you think about where you fell from. When he came to himself, he said, "How many hired servants of my father's have bread?" Because, you know, even though you left, daddy's house was still functioning. Y'all ain't got it. I hope you get it. Even though you left, daddy's house was still functioning. And that's why he say the servants even eat better. My daddy got servants in his house. You know, sometimes we think we God's blessing. Mm-mm. No. We not God's blessing. We God's grace. And we all need God's grace, right? Amen. Glory to God. Look at this. It says, and when he came to himself, he said, "How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. When you return, just return with a repentive attitude. Yes, you are accepted, but realize it's not anything that you did to make yourself accepted. It's all what he did. And if he can speak to you right where you are, you just repent right where you are. Lord, I'm sorry. Thank you that you would still call me. Thank you that you would justify me. Thank you that you would accept me. Thank you, God. This is why when you go through that process, this is why you can go to heaven and say, Abba, Father. You think about where he brought you from. Look at it. I will arise and go to my father's house and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. He come with the right attitude. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. The son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. He rehearsed it. He rehearsed it. And when he got there before his daddy, he executed. Amen. He says, but the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. Now, I don't know if he left with shoes, but he came back. He might have left full. Let's put it that way, because he had money and everything. He left full, but he came back empty. Shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf. And notice now, I don't know what the daddy was looking at. If I'm seeing my boy with no shoes on his feet, I'm putting a ring on him, and I'm putting a robe on him. I want the nicest robe that you got, right? Bring me the best robe, is what he say. I don't know what this boy looking like, but his daddy was changing his appearance. And I want to tell you something. When you begin to repent and you come to God, he will change your appearance. There's people today that's been serving God for so long, you don't know what they was, where they come from. I mean, God done changed their whole appearance. A lot of times serving the Lord, you look younger. I know people try to take things to make them younger. I got something for you to take. Try Jesus. Amen. Glory to God. Look, but it says, shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. Now, I won't take the time to read the rest of that. You all know the rest of that is the eldest son that always stayed in the house, and I never left the church, was upset because they had a party for his brother that came back. And the daddy had to tell him, you need to get your spirit in check. You ain't got to worry about him getting your money. He done spent all his money. But my boy was lost, and now he's found. So I'm going to rejoice, and I'm expecting you to come on in the house and rejoice. Amen. We don't want to have the spirit of the prodigal son's brother when we see other people coming back to the house. Lord. Now, you know, sometimes things be done happen. Even the pastor don't even know it done happen. Somebody done had some disagreement that the pastor don't know about, and you're trying to figure out why this person didn't come to church. Sometimes person sitting here all alone know why they ain't coming to church, because we done had it out. You better let that go. You better let it go. Amen. Because God will pull you to the corner and let you see your sins. Amen. Praise the Lord. We thank God. We're looking for God's prodigals to come on home. You are accepted. Let's finish reading just a few more quotes and we'll close out for tonight. I'm going back over here to my quotes, and I'm starting here in the sermon, The Baptism of the Holy Spirit. It says, you're going out and love the things of the world. Wear shorts and do all these things. Go ahead. Shows what you are. By their fruits you shall know them. Does men gather figs of thorns? See, no, you draw figs off a fig tree. You get apples off an apple tree. You get thorns off of a thorn tree. That's right. And pretty much what he's saying is that a person that's filled with God's spirit ought to always dress holy, because it's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit does not dress sexy. It's not the sexy spirit. It's the Holy Spirit. So a Holy Spirit and a man gonna dress holy, and a Holy Spirit and a woman gonna dress holy. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. And if you don't have the Holy Spirit, pray that God will give you the Holy Spirit. Amen. And what you, when you get his Holy Spirit, you get his nature, not your nature. All right. It says, now listen, real close now. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ himself, according to his own, to his good pleasure of his will. And like I said, holiness is still right. When you got the Holy Spirit, you don't just expose all of your body for people to see. Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. No, you don't do that. Maybe you never heard that before, but go back and read the Bible. Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? So you don't expose it for everybody to see. You know, in the temple, back in the Old Testament, there was only certain people can come into the inner court, right? Only certain people. The high priest could come in, into those places. Priests could go there. I mean, so treat your body like that, something sacred. Don't just let anybody and everybody just do whatever. Remember, Muhammad Ali told his daughter, he says, you know, for pearls and things of that nature, people have to go deep into the ocean to find this type of stuff. You know, you just don't find that everywhere, right along the street somewhere. You got to go deep to find pearls and get jewels out the earth. You know, if you want diamonds, you got to go deep and dig them. So just don't present your body in a way to a man that is not making him go deep enough to find. Praise the Lord. Find out what you got. Don't just expose yourself like that. Amen. That's not holiness. That's not holiness. All right. Glory to God. All right. It says, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ himself, according to his own, to his good pleasure of his will, having predestinated us to the praises of his glory, of his grace, wherein he hath made us acceptable in the beloved. Who did it? Because I quit drinking, because I quit smoking. No, he did it. He made me before the foundation of the world acceptable in the presence of his grace. Nothing I'd done, never done a thing about it. Didn't have one thing to do with it. I was a pig to begin with. I was a sinner, born in a family of drunkards, raised up on a moonshine still, sitting on a whiskey barrel, disgraceful. That's right, the Kentucky moonshiner. Never wore a pair of shoes till I was a great big boy, hair hanging down my neck, sitting up there on a moonshine keg, making moonshine, and yet the Holy Ghost come to me at 7 years old. Said, don't you touch a drop of it, and don't you fool with them little girls out there, and don't you smoke a cigarette or chew a tobacco. Oh my, what was it? The Father's goodwill before the foundation of the world, that he would send me to preach the gospel and lead his sheep. God bless him and forever that great name. I'll stay by his Bible, sink or drown, popular, unpopular. Whether anybody loves me or not, I'll please him. I want to do that which pleases him. Brother Branham said he was 7 years old when the Holy Spirit came to him and told him, don't you drink this liquor. Don't you, his daddy was making moonshine. Don't you drink this. Don't you smoke. Don't you drink. Don't run around with certain ladies. Don't do that, because I got to work for you to do when you get older. 7 years old, he heard the voice of God. And I want you all to think about this. We just had a little sister here in our church turn 7 years old, Sister Linda. And when you look at Sister Linda, next time you see her, think about God speaking to his prophet at that age and saying, don't do it. And from 7 years old to the day he died, never did it. And even when he tried, the Holy Spirit had a way of stopping him and blocking him. At 7 years old, can you imagine that? What an impression that it makes. 7 years old. So I want to tell even our 7 year olds and 8 year olds, God can speak to you. God can speak to you at that early age. And when he speaks, you hear his voice. I wanted you to know tonight that you are accepted. Accepted. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for your truth. Thank you for your prophet that gives us so many little angles that we can look at, that helps us, Lord, with explore the scripture. Not just words that just on the page. God, they mean so much. And it's not just something that Paul wrote for his day. But God, it lives even right now. God, my prayer is that those that have heard this, that it would penetrate the depths of their soul. As the prophet said, it would get underneath the fifth rib, Lord, and it would cause a manifestation. Let the prodigal sons and daughters return home to the father's house. What made that man father is that he had two sons. And God, one son had gotten away, and what it just meant, it meant so much to him to see his son gone. And father's house kept chugging along like it normally did, but it was missing the element of the son. God, when he came back, the daddy couldn't do nothing but celebrate. And he wouldn't allow anybody to change his disposition because he knew what it meant to have a son and to have that son in the house. Father, I pray that you bring your sons and your daughters into your house by any means necessary. Bring your sons and your daughters to your house. Help them to realize they are accepted. They're called. They're justified. They're glorified. Help them to realize it, God, tonight. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Just have a couple of announcements that we want to make here tonight. Don't forget, no Friday services. We won't have Friday services until further notice. We will continue our Sunday service, and what we've done, everyone should have received the communication from the church. All the saints here should receive communication from me, either via WhatsApp or via text. If you did not receive the communication, please reach out to me. I'll make sure that you get it. But we have made a few changes as they are opening things here in our state, in our county. We've also just tried to open things a little bit as well. And the first thing we did tonight was welcome all of those that are over 60. We welcome them to be able to come to service tonight while everybody else stays home. They've been away for quite some time, but we felt that being that it would be a minimized crowd, these have been the ones that we wanted to protect the most. So we let them come tonight, and we just ask everybody else to stay home and stream, and this will allow them just to just slowly just get reacclimated, amen, into our environment. The other thing is on Sunday morning, we're also allowing, amen, those that are over 60 to pick a service that they want to attend. So we'll start getting them back in fellowship on Sunday mornings. We'll continue to have our two services. And the primary reason that we're doing that is that CDC is still saying no more than 10 gathering. But we know that our governor told us church was essential. And also he said that as long as we could practice social distancing, that was the main key. So I will admit that our 9 o'clock service, because we got a few new people, the 9 o'clock service is getting very close to us not being able to do social distancing. So I want us to keep that in mind. If we have to ask someone to move into the other service, please bear with us, because we're just trying to make sure we maintain the social distancing. We're asking everyone, please bring your masks up to church. And the thing about the mask is that we just won't. They tell us when we go out in public, wear your mask. Wear your mask when you go in public. I know sometimes people come and it's just not comfortable, but sometimes wearing the mask is not just for you, but it might be for somebody else that might be around you. So let's do this for the sake of others. And I know that you all see me not having my mask. I'm going to try to get better about that. When I'm not in the pulpit, I'm gonna try to have my mask right there by me, so y'all can see I'm leading by example. I'm gonna do my best there. Sometimes I forget it, but I'm gonna try to do my best, because I know if I don't wear it, then others don't wear it. Brother Jack ain't wearing it. A lot of times I won't wear it because I'm preaching or I'm getting ready to go into the pulpit. But I'll try to do better about that to set the example for the church. It's not fear. We're just trying to make sure everybody is safe. Other thing that we're gonna be doing, you notice that when we came in on Sunday, we had a scanner just to scan temperatures. That doesn't mean if you have a temperature, you can't come worship. Yes, you can come worship, but we're certainly going to encourage you. If you know you have a temperature, please make sure you wear your mask in church, because we don't want any outbreaks here amen, at the church. Now, we're not sending you home. And somebody say, well, if they got a temperature, I ain't coming. Well, look, this is the church. This is where we pray for people to get delivered. Amen. Hallelujah. Jesus prayed for Peter's mother-in-law. She had a fever, and he got that fever got off her through prayer. So we want people to come to church. We're not kicking you out. But we will say this. If you know you're ill before you come to church and you're at home and you're ill, you can stream the service. If you know you're ill, we ask that you just be responsible, amen, and just stay home. Like they're asking everybody to isolate themselves. Just do that for a service or so, and until you feel better. Your immune system is weak, and if somebody else comes in and now, you know, whether you give it to them or you pick up something more, we don't want that to happen. So please just be responsible and just stay home. It's okay to stream a service. It's okay. So keep that in mind. But we still have the 9 a.m. and 12 p.m. services. And we encourage you will be, you know, just continue to do that until we kind of see an uplift from not just even the government, but we are also watching. We have people that are working on the front line. We have nurses in this church. God blessed us with nurses in this church. We also have I want to call her like some. She's a relative of many of the saints here in the church. Working in ER, the director of an ER, watching all the cases that are coming right here locally, telling us how many people are dying, whether the news is reporting it or not, we got people that's giving us the information. So we're trying to make decisions based on the information that we receive. And let me tell you something, you can't trust all the sources out there. So I cannot be moved by every little article that go out. I'm just listening to sources that I can trust. And then we make decisions from there. So just please bear with us. Be patient. We're trying to get everybody back in the fellowship. My desire is for us to get back in under one roof with one service on Sunday. Everybody see each other and shout. But let's just take our time getting there. So we will have the thermal scanning. That's just to, again, just help, you know, just make sure that we're properly making sure that everybody's safe as they come in. So if you know, somebody says, hey, your temperature's kind of high, it might be, even if you was feeling good, it might be a good time for you to start taking some vitamin C just to kind of get your body some help to fight off what's trying to attack you. So we don't want you to go home if you got a little temperature, depending on how bad it is now. but if you're sweating and everything out there, it's like, you should be in bed. but we'll pray for you. Please call for prayer. We want to pray for you. We don't want to just leave you there alone. But let's just be responsible in what we're doing. And let's just take this with patience. We have a number of a long way to go, but we're going to get started here. Amen. So keep that in mind. Also, don't forget, we have a new church app, and we encourage you to download the app. When you go to your app store, whether you have an iPhone or whether you got a Samsung, or if you have a Windows phone, just go to the app store and download the church app and look for Spirit and Truth Tabernacle. Brother Quentin has done a marvelous job of putting this app together for us, and I know it'll be a blessing to you, but this is also going to be an easy way for us to communicate. Also, easy way for you to stream the services. So you go right there to your phone, and you on the app, you can click on Periscope, you can click on Facebook, either one is right there on the phone. It makes it really easy. You can also download the app if you have an iPad or a Droid, you know, device. You can download on there. Just go to the store and download the church app and look for Spirit and Truth Tabernacle. We'll be migrating to that platform shortly, so keep that in mind. All right. If you desire to give, amen, we have multiple ways for you to be able to give. You can use Cash App to give to the church, and you would just use the cash symbol, Spirit and Truth T, amen, the cash symbol, Spirit and Truth T. And you can just send it directly there. Also, if you want to use PayPal, you can go directly to the church website. If you have the church app, you can also give right from the app. We have PayPal, a link for PayPal, as well as a link for Cash App right there in the app. So you can give from there. If you use PayPal, always use the option send to a friend or family member. And that friend or family member that you're going to send it to is giving@john423.org, giving@john423.org. It will come to the church, and it will come without any PayPal fees. So please keep that in mind. Amen. All right. So we'll pray over our giving, and I also wanted to just before we pray, just thank God that He has provided us with the new keyboard, amen, that we were asking for. It arrived today, and we thank God for the new keyboard. God bless each and every one that was able to assist us in that. And y'all might get upset with me, but I'm going to tell y'all we got other things we got to do. One of those things that we're looking to do is we want to improve our video quality for those that are streaming the service, especially those that have been seeing the stream. There's some cameras that we want to get in order to improve the video quality. So that is another project that has come, and I know that the cameras cost about $1,000 each. We want to get two of them, and there's another project. So if you didn't get a chance to give towards the piano and the Lord lays it on your heart, you can give towards the cameras. Amen. So, and I think that's all we want to do right now. But because of this COVID, it caused us to have to spend money that we just, you know, man, we got to get things up and running. We upgraded our internet service so people can get online and didn't have to drop the connections and all that. We're doing everything we can to make the experience go as smooth as possible. We bought a new computer for it. We're doing all of that. There's times where I realize, you know, we could probably try to just take on some of these things ourselves and not say a word. But when we do that, we cause people to miss blessings. Amen. You get blessed through being able to give. So when you find out about something and you're able to give, God blesses you in return. Amen for that. And I remember a song says, you can't beat God's giving no matter how you try. The more you give, the more He gives to you. Amen. Just keep on giving, because it's really true. Amen. And I am a witness of that. Don't get me started telling testimonies. But I know that when you give, it's a way to release the blessings of the Lord. Amen. So God bless you. Let's pray over giving tonight. Father, we thank you for this time that we're able to give. We ask that you would use it for the furtherance of your kingdom here on earth. Thank you, Lord, for providing this new keyboard for us. Thank you for the saints, Lord, that have given both far and near. Saints have given. I knew a precious brother, Lord, here locally that we saw just give on Cash App for the piano. And I'm grateful for that, Lord. I just appreciate people having a heart to help us. And Lord, I pray that you return the blessing to each and every one of the saints. Give back to them 100-fold, Lord, on their giving. And God, we just thank you for continuing to supply the needs of this church. Even during the midst of this pandemic, you still allowed every bill to be paid. And God, you're so good to us. We thank you for that. Thank you for everything that you've done. Thank you, Lord. Different saints have received stimulus packages. And God, we're grateful. Thankful that we even live in a country that can do things like this. And Lord, we just appreciate, and we pray, Lord, your blessings, Lord, upon all those that are involved in this. And ask God that you continue to get all the glory and all the honor from everything that we do. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. We want to thank you again for joining us tonight. We pray the Lord will bless you and keep you until we're able to meet again. And we welcome, amen, our saints. We say the at-risk. We welcome them back to the house of God. God bless you. Amen. God bless you. Praise the Lord. We'll see you Sunday morning, 9 a.m. God bless you. Until then.